Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rates and Lanes with Rico Muhammad and Chuck Snow.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Rates and Lanes podcast. I'm not 100% sure if Chuck and our guests are going to be able to make it tonight. I'm not sure. Wait a minute. Let's see here. Got someone calling in from an unfamiliar. Let's see if this is our guest. So let's bear with us for a second here, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening. This is Rico. Who am I speaking with? Second, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not sure if we're kind of maybe having a little bit of a technical glitch.
These things happen.
Okay, is that you, Michael? Hello, caller from 416 area code. Is that you, Michael?
You got Chuck here from 416.
This is Chuck?
Yep, you got Chuck here.
Okay, Chuck, I got you. Okay, we got you locked in. I'm not sure if our guest is going to be able to make it. This may be him right here. Let me jump right into it. Let me see if I can grab this line here. Hello, is this Mike?
This is me.
All right, Mike. Okay, good deal. Cool.
Oh, you heard
me. Both of you guys made it. I wasn't sure if you guys were both going to make it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you guys back on hold. I'm going to go ahead and proceed with a couple of reports that I normally read out. I just wanted to make sure that you guys were up and on board, but I'm going to put you and Chuck back on hold, and you guys can talk while I'm going through those reports. So we'll put
you
guys back on hold. And all right. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, so we do have our special guests. We do have our co-hosts up and on board with us, so that's great. We're going to jump right over into this week's regularly scheduled programming, starting off with this week's USDA Fruit and Vegetable Report. Got a good bit of movement this week on the USDA Truck Fruit and Vegetable Rate Report. First things first, we have one area that is reporting an outright shortage of trucks, and that area is southern New Mexico. So there's potential and opportunities to be had in southern New Mexico right now. And we have several markets that are reporting a slight shortage of trucks, which means there may not be as great of an opportunity, but there may be some indications of opportunity to be had. So those areas, we're going to list those off. San Joaquin Valley, California, North Carolina, Southeast Missouri, and also Southwest Indiana and Southeast Illinois are all areas that are reporting that they're starting to move melons out of. Vidalia District, Georgia, Upper Twin Falls, Burley District, Idaho, Louisiana, all are reporting slight shortages. Moving down, we have Michigan reporting some slight shortages. Mississippi is reporting slight shortages. And Eastern North Carolina is reporting slight shortages. And wrapping up, Columbia Basin, Washington is reporting slight shortages for trucks in those areas. Areas that are reporting an outright surplus of trucks where there seems to be a glut of trucks right now, so which means that's going to be bad for your rate. There's going to be not much. There's a greater supply, so the demand will not be as great. And those two areas that are reporting that are the lower Rio Grande Valley, Texas, and Mexico crossing through Texas. So that might be an area you might want to avoid over the next week or so. Jumping on over, shifting gears really quickly, jumping to the DAT Trend Lines report. This week, rates continued their seasonal slide, but the pace of the decline has slowed. The national average van rate and reefer rate was down just a penny, while the average flatbed rate took its first upturn in 6 weeks, rising by 1 cent per mile. Freight volumes in February are up compared to January, and rising volumes should reignite rates during March. And we definitely have our fingers crossed hoping so. So with that being said, let's take a deeper dive, a deeper look, jumping into the van segment of this week's Trendlines report, the van and demand capacity portion of the report for February 17th through February 23rd. Van load post on DAT load boards fell 6% last week, while truck post increased by 4%. That pushed the national load-to-truck ratio down from 4.3 loads per truck. Historically speaking, load post declined only 8.5% in January, but a 19% increase in truck post caused the load-to-truck ratio to drop 23% month over month from 6 loads per truck down to 4.6 loads per truck. That's a typical seasonal trend. The ratio plunged 51% compared to January of 2018, which was the first full month under the ELD mandate. It should be noted that the average price of diesel has climbed by 1.3%, showing a national average cost of diesel at $3.01 per gallon. Let's take a deeper dive into the van report and see how the rates were performing over the previous week of February 17th through the 23rd. The national average van rate continued its winter decline. Pace has slowed. Last week, the national rate edged down 1 cent to $1.89 per mile. As the van load-to-truck ratio declined, that's where it ended up at $1.89 per mile. And historically, when it comes to the rates, monthly average rate drops below $2 for vans, dropping below $2 per mile for the very first time since September of 2017. The national average van rate closed out the month of January at $1.96 per mile. Looser capacity and lower fuel costs contributed to the decline. Rates were 28 cents higher in January of 2018 due to the start of the ELD mandate. So jumping over and taking a look around the country really quickly, starting out in the northeastern portion of the United States, we have Philadelphia being the representative city, showing an outbound spot market rate at $1.80 per mile. Dropping down into Atlanta, Georgia, the southeastern representative city, van rates show a average of $1.98 per mile. Moving up into the Midwest, Chicago, Illinois shows an average spot market rate for vans at $2.30 per mile. Moving over to the south central portion of the United States, we have Dallas, Texas checking in, showing an average spot market rate at $1.62 per mile. And wrapping up the report coming out of the left coast, the City of Angels, Los Angeles, California, we show $2.04 on the spot market for dry vans. That will wrap up the dry van portion of the DAT report. Moving right along, jumping over into flatbeds for the week of February 17th through the 23rd. Flatbed load post on DAT load boards were down 5%. While truck post increased by 2%, that pushed the national flatbed ratio down 25.1 loads per truck. Historically, looking back, flatbed load post rose sharply in January with a 34% increase compared to December. There were 20% more truck posts, so the load-to-truck ratio rose from 21 loads per truck to 23.5 loads per truck. Over a month, the average ratio was 58% higher in January of 2018, however, due mostly to capacity constraints from the start of the ELD mandate. Let's take a look and see how the flatbed rates were performing over the previous week of February the 17th through the 23rd. The national average rate for flatbeds made its first upswing in 6 weeks, rising 1 cent to $2.34 per mile. Demand, however, was lower compared to the previous week. Historically speaking, flatbed rates matched last year's average. In January, flatbed rates dropped 6 cents to a national average of $2.36 per mile, matching the average rate for the same month last year. So that is a good indication, at least for the flatbed segment of the transportation industry. Taking a look around the country to see how the spot markets were in each market, starting out in the northeastern portion of the United States, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania being the representative city, showing an average of $3.79 per mile. Moving down into the southeast, we have Atlanta, Georgia checking in, showing an average spot market rate at $2.70 per mile. Moving up into the Midwest, we have Rock Island, Illinois checking in, showing $3.07 per mile. Moving down into the south central portion of the United States, Houston, Texas shows $2.69 per mile on average for the spot market outbound rate for flatbeds. And moving over to the West Coast, Phoenix, Arizona being the representative city, showing an average of $2.08 per mile coming out of the West Coast. And that, ladies and gentlemen, will wrap up the flatbed segment of the DAT Trend Lines report. And let's move over really quickly to the reefer load-to-truck ratios and demand and capacity portion of the report for February 17th through the 23rd. Reefer load post edged down 5% as truck post increased by 1%. That caused the national average reefer ratio to slip from 5.8 down to 5.5 loads per truck. Reefer rates also moved lower. Historically speaking, a 5.6% dip in January load post combined with a 9.3% increase in truck post yielded a 14% decline in the load-to-truck ratio. The ratio dropped from 7.2 loads per truck in December down to 6.2 in January, which is a typical seasonal trend in January, But in January 2018, however, the ratio rose to 16.1 loads per truck due to the introduction of the ELD mandate. Let's take a look to see how the rates were performing. Over the previous week, reefer rates continued their downward trend, but the pace is slowing. Last week, the rate dipped just 1 cent, dropping to $2.22 per mile. The national load-to-truck ratio also showed a slight decline. Historically speaking, reefer rates slipped 14 cents lower in January month over month. While it's common for these rates to decline in January, the drop was steeper than usual due to an abundant capacity and decline in fuel costs. Compared to the unseasonably high rates of January 2018, the national average was 33 cents lower last month. And taking a look around the country for refrigerated freight, starting out in the Northeast, we have Elizabeth, New Jersey checking in, showing an average outbound spot market rate at 188. Moving down into the southeastern portion of the United States, Lakeland, Florida checks in, showing an outbound spot market rate at $1.52. Moving up into the Midwest, Green Bay, Wisconsin being the representative city, showing an outbound spot market rate at $2.95. That leads the nation. Coming back down to McAllen, Texas, the south central portion of the United States, they have an outbound spot market reefer rate at $2.24. And wrapping up, coming out of the West Coast, Fresno, California, shows an average outbound spot market rate at $1.99. That, ladies and gentlemen, will wrap up this week's DAT Trend Lines report. And moving right along, jumping over into this week's Bad Broker report. We've got quite a few new entries on the report, unfortunately. JD Logistics, Inc., their MC number is 683666. FMCSA shows that the surety bond is set to cancel on 3/8/19. They have over $55,000 in non-payment complaints that have been reported. A&A Enterprise LLC. Updated credit alert. Their MC number is 588-176. Surety bond set to cancel on 3-3-2019. They have over $40,000 in non-payment complaints. Spartan Carriers LLC. Their MC number is 111-853. Surety bond has already canceled as of 12-9-2018. They have over $108,000 in non-payment complaints that have been reported. LLR Logistics LLC, MC number is 344-606. FMCSA shows surety bond is set to cancel on 3-2 of 2019. They have over $20,000 in non-payment complaints that have been reported. Talladega Logistics, Inc., their MC number is 775-584. FMCSA showed that the trust fund canceled on 2-8-19. They have over $50,000 in non-payment complaints. Diamondback Transportation, their MC number is 776-693. FMCSA showed that the trust fund canceled on 2-9-19. They have over $47,000 in non-payment complaints that have been reported. PacWest Logistics LLC. Not sure what's going on here with PacWest Logistics LLC. Don't have an MC number or a broker authority number. So I'm not sure if this is a shipper or what's going on with they have a phone number here for in the information at a 503-348-7352. But this PacWest Logistics LLC, they have over $9,000 in non-payment complaints that have been reported. That's kind of strange. Never seen an entry quite like that. Moving right along, AG Specialties LLC. MC number is 962-595. FMCSA shows trust fund counsel. They have over $17,000 in non-payment complaints that have been reported. And wrapping up and rounding out the list, MLS Freight Logistics LLC. Their MC number is 269-020. They have over $168,000 in non-payment complaints that have been reported. And that, ladies and gentlemen, will wrap up this week's DAT Channelized report. Let's see here. We're going to go and grab Chuck at this time. And so, Chuck, I'm bringing you up and on board. I'm finished up the report, getting ready to bring our special guest on, Michael Lampelli. Michael Lampelli is a logistics sales he's a logistics sales executive that has developed a digital marketing platform for insurance professionals. He's going to share how people selling transportation and logistics can utilize this to increase their sales. So with that being said, hopefully everyone has their ears wide open and their thinking caps on. We're going to welcome our special guest, Mr. Michael Lampelli. Michael, you're up and on board with Rico and Chuck. How are you this evening?
I'm well, thank you. Snowed under, but well.
Yeah, I heard that you guys are getting a little inclement weather up that way. Hopefully, after it finishes up, the sun comes on out and makes life a little bit easier up that way for you guys.
Well,
you're mouth to God's ear, Rico.
this is Canada, and we don't get snow often.
Well, good deal, gentlemen. Well, I'm glad that you were able to join us this evening. Very intrigued as far as some of the strategies and some of the things that we may be get a chance to talk about and go over tonight on maybe giving some of our listeners a more practical approach on how to attack or take advantage of marketing to maybe get themselves in front of their ideal client. With that being said, Michael, I guess we'll let you maybe impart some knowledge on us, and as questions or whatever arise, we'll tackle them one at a time.
Sure thing. Well, thank you, Rico and Chuck, and thank you for having me on the call. When
Thanks
you
for being
asked me, sorry, go ahead.
Thanks for being with us. We appreciate it.
So I was a little background. I was in the supply chain logistics management industry for 17 years. I started by selling trucking services in 1987, and then in 1990 I joined a consulting firm. 1997 I created the first my first logistics and transportation data management company, and then in then I sold that off in 2001, and in 2003 I created the first web-based logistics data management platform in Canada, which was designed to deliver logistics information to companies so that they can manage their freight. So that was my background, so I know full well the pains of trying to talk to customers. With respect to marketing, I have a digital insurance company, and when Rico and Chuck asked me to be online, they said, you know, can you share some of your knowledge of, you know, how should our people talk to customers? And what can they do to find new customers, and what can they do to keep customers? And I said, sure, I'd be happy to help. From a marketing perspective, what marketing means is, in essence, how do I get people to notice me, or how do I keep my clients to know that what I do is of value? And I said to Rico and to Chuck that it's not about prices. I know that in our industry or in the logistics industry, it was always price, price, price. But when I dealt with a lot of the companies, and I dealt with, you know, Boeing Canada, I dealt with a lot of major companies, they're always under pressure for price, but they're also always under pressure to demonstrate that they could deliver. So when I talk to customers, even in my business now, it's always about what value can I add to them. So my favorite radio station is WIFM. And WIFM stands for WIIFM. What's in it for me? So when you're doing marketing, whenever I do marketing, whatever I do has to be what's in it for the client. And it's not the price, because, interestingly enough, in the insurance business, people always thought it was price, price, price. But when I speak to customers and I boil it down to what's in it for them, what's of value for them, their ears perk up very fast, because there's always something in what you're offering that is of great interest to them. Otherwise, it's a truck is a truck, but it's not. It's people. It's trying to deliver things and help them out. So marketing for me is about what can I say or what can I share with customers that tells them how I can add value to their life. And to do that, you have to know your customer's life. What is important to them, and what's a pain to them. So, I want to share a quick story for you and how I learned that. And it was actually when I was in transportation consulting. Rico, may I share that story?
Absolutely.
So I was 1990, and I was in transportation consulting in Montreal. And I was trying to sign clients on board, manufacturing clients, to help them audit their freight invoices and do various things. And I walked into the controller's office of an auto parts company, and I didn't know a damn thing about, you know, I sold trucking. I didn't know a thing about consulting. I didn't know a thing about, how companies ran their freight. And I'd been, you know, the doors were slammed in my face. And then I'm sitting there in front of this controller, and I think I was like 28 years old or something like that. And something came out of me, and I said to him, how much are you spending on transportation? And he said, well, we're spending $3 million a year. And I said, who's running it? And he said, well, Jack. And I said, well, who's Jack? Oh, he's our shipper. And how long has Jack been with you? 20 years. And I said, so what's Jack's, education or professional accreditation that he's running a $3 million a year discretionary budget? And the controller said, what do you mean discretionary? I said, well, does anybody know what Jack is doing? No. And that's when I realized all I had to do was say that. And I just told him what's in it for him.
Right.
And I got the client. And I kept using the same sentence over and over again.
So, interesting.
Yeah. Go ahead, Chuck.
I thought you had something to say.
No, I just think that is really interesting.
So everybody, you know, Rico, I mean, when I'm sharing with the information with your listeners, it's, and as I said before when we spoke, you have to understand what's in it for the client. And for them, it's easy to say, give me a cheaper price. But it's never a cheaper price, because when they need a load picked up at 4:30 in the afternoon on a Friday, suddenly the price disappears. So
right, and that's
not
one of the – that's
sorry, Rico?
Exactly. So one of the things that, you know, because we have a lot of people that are – and one of the reasons that we wanted to have you on, Michael, was because we wanted to give people, equip them with the tools so that they could, because there's a big intimidation factor. We got a lot of people that are more used to dealing with, not necessarily dealing directly with the end customer. They're utilizing brokers, which is more of a, and I know that you're familiar with the terminology, but it's kind of the low-hanging fruit. So, you know, they're not really used to being able to, for lack of a better term, go out hunting, kill something, and drag it back home, so to speak. The brokers are more or less like the supermarket. It's already been killed, dressed, and everything. But now you're paying a higher rate for that service. Versus you could
right.
be saving that money if you were to go do it yourself. And that's kind of the we're trying to put some meat back on the bone, so to speak, by trying to help our listeners and equip them with the tools that they would need to be able to go out and have some kind of an idea on how to approach or even market themselves. Because the number one thing about you can be a business and have plenty of potential customers in your backyard, but if marketing is the key to a vital part of every business, because if they don't know that you exist, then what good are you?
Yes. So, you know, and in your business, in the trucking business, testimonials are very important. Because
Absolutely.
One company would listen to another company. Is that right, Chuck?
100%.
So the question for your listeners is, how many people have gotten testimonials from their best clients?
And that's critical. That's one of the things that we try to tell our clients to do, even if it's a broker. It's something that I've suggested to some of our listeners previously in the past. Even if you're negotiating with a broker or whatever, and you can't quite get them to budge or whatever on the price. Well, try to see if you can get something else out of them. If you can't really necessarily get them to give something on the price, then try to see if you can get them to give you some type of endorsement or a written statement so that you can utilize that and post that maybe on your Facebook page or on your website or something where you can use that to try to help build credibility.
Right. I mean, first off, I want to share something with people today, which is I know for a lot of people they think websites are complicated and they're expensive. But believe it or not, if you register a website with GoDaddy, they'll charge you like $1,000 to set up the whole website.
Yeah, it's not as bad as it used to be.
Oh, it used to be bizarre. But now there's so many from Wix.com and GoDaddy, they all offer it, and then they'll help you set it up. And you know, if you're trying, it's a question of how well do you know your customer's business? And how many
Good
people,
point.
And that's what you want to do, is you want to ask your, you know, the customer, well, tell me about your business. Like, you know, when's the peak, when's the slow, you know, what are you looking for in carriers, how often do you need, you know, how often is it, you know, how much of your business is critical ship versus just regular ship, and those types of things. Because maybe you find, hey, you know what, you know, 80% of your load is critical ship, 20% is regular ship.
And previously, when we talked before, Michael, I think we talked about some really great information. So I'm going to try to maybe jog your memory back on this. But what are some great resources that people can utilize even tonight on off-peak hours to kind of go and start doing their homework to get information on potential customers. You got some resources that some good free resources that we can start to try to mine those resources to try to get prepared for next week or tomorrow to try to say, okay,
sure.
Well, these people that we might need to market to.
Well, the first thing I would tell you is when you're doing marketing, you can't do it once and then walk away. So if you're going to put this as part of your business, you got to know that at least once a week or once every couple of weeks, you got to put some information out that the people who are in the industry take notice. Because there's a reason why radio commercials keep repeating phone numbers three times. It's because it's three times
Absolutely.
Before the brain realizes it. So, you know, if whatever marketing strategy you want, the first thing I would say to the listeners is, what is it that you do? What is the core business you do? I know a truck is a truck, but I got to share a story with you. If I don't know if we watched the movie The Founder, which was about Raycon and McDonald's, and he kept thinking he does hamburgers.
Right.
And he talks to this kid one day, and the kid looks at his business. He said, what business do you think I'm in? He says, I'm in hamburgers. No, I'm not. You're in real estate. So it's the same thing with trucking. You're not in trucking, right? You're in solving problems. You're in moving goods. You're in helping people. So you have to understand your customers, and it would be good for your listeners to go talk to some of their five customers and say, okay, I'm going to come up with 10 or 15 questions that would give me an insight as to what's important to them. And once I have that information, there are a lot of, you know, from a professional perspective, I mean, there's industry magazines, there is blogs on the website, there is testimonials that you could put on your website. There's LinkedIn, which is a great place to brand the company, but the company is there to solve a problem. So LinkedIn, I think, is a great place. But also LinkedIn, and that's how I started my company, is a place to connect other people. Now, if I'm trying to connect to people,
right.
Let's say in the shipping industry, let me give you a good example. It's tough to get a logistics manager, you know, to connect on LinkedIn and let's go have a lunch and all that, somebody you don't know. But there's other people in the organization. And in that organization, and people always want to connect to other people. So I used to contact people on LinkedIn and say, hey, I'd like to learn more about your business, see if there's an opportunity to collaborate. So ironically enough, you may be wanting to get into that company. The logistics manager, he's being attacked all day, but the sales guys are open. They need to talk to people too. And it gives me an insight into their business. So believe it or not, talking to the sales rep of a client gives you a lot of insight into the business because, after all, the sales rep is the guy selling the product.
Right.
He knows where it's being shipped to.
He knows where it's being shipped to. He knows what the challenges are shipping it to, right? He's the sales guy because it's his clients giving him the orders of when they want it.
Right. And he normally stays abreast to if there are any problems with the shipping because he's the one that's running.
Oh, he gets the first call
in front of the customer.
Exactly. That's right. He gets the first call. Right. And then there's also. Go ahead. Sorry.
I just wanted to reiterate how critical this is. So, you know, all of this is being recorded so it can be played back. That's a good thing if you're not listening, if you're not listening with your pen and pad. But, you know, that's a really powerful nugget right there as to who a good ally could be when you're starting your marketing process and approaching you build a good relationship with that salesman.
Uh-huh.
He can help you turn that cold call into a much warmer call.
Right, and you know, and he has the knowledge of the company. He's the sales guy. Now, to find a person who's the sales guy, believe it or not, it's actually pretty simple, is that in the LinkedIn search bar, type in the name of the company. And whoever belongs to that company is going to show up.
Well, there you go.
So you'll have their titles. And then you can connect, and that makes it easier. But then what I would do further is, even on LinkedIn, if the company has a LinkedIn corporate page, I'd follow them because you're gaining information for free. The company itself is posting events and milestones and financial information about the company.
Absolutely.
So it takes a little bit of research to be able to say to that customer, I know a little bit about your business. And what is it that's important to you?
Right.
It's really nice when you say to a customer, congratulations on that award.
Yeah, you're totally right, Chuck. I mean, they post that to LinkedIn too. And if you got a target, let's say you got a target list in your town of, let's say, 20 companies, go to their websites regularly and follow them. All it takes is like 30 minutes on a... Go ahead, Chuck.
No, I was just going to say one of the most critical things that, and Michael, maybe you can speak to this. Don't get so caught up on what it is about your company. Don't get caught up in you because it's not about you.
That's right.
What you want to do is be able to go into the company and be able to, like you said, be a problem solver or whatever. So you're not really going in touting or tooting or blowing your horn as to how great of a company you are. You are going in with an attentive ear, listening for potential problems or hiccups. And if you've done enough homework on the company, you may be able to help educate the company as to why your services is better than who it is that they're using right now.
Right. You might read about the company that they recently had a problem with certain clients, or they had all that information is online. So if you happen to have the email of the logistics manager, say, hey, you know, I saw that you had, you basically what you do is just email a story of, here's a way we solved this customer's problem, and here's the funny part. Everybody knows that when they talk to other people, they say, I have a friend with a problem. Don't you do that, Rico?
Right.
It's like, I got a friend with a problem.
Absolutely.
Okay, well, so should the blog. I've got a client with a problem. No, you don't. But you start to list the problem, which looks amazingly like the guy's problem and how you solved it.
Absolutely. So another thing that a concern that listeners have said, Michael, is that, well, you know, I'm concerned about, I really don't have a major budget set aside for a lot of marketing and advertising. What would you say to someone that says, I'm not sure as far as setting aside a budget. If you got someone, if that's a concern, because a lot of our guys are smaller, one-truck trolleys, what would you say, or what kind of solution would you say would be a good fit to address the issue as far as someone being concerned about having a ton of money to throw at marketing?
Well, first off, I would tell you to not waste your money on marketing unless you know what you want to do. So don't do it just because somebody uses the magic word marketing. You know, that's like saying pasta, and you know how many variations of pasta there is. So you can blow your brains out very quickly on that. But there are a lot of things at the ground level that you can do, and that's why I said there is LinkedIn. And one of the interesting parts of, and why I like LinkedIn, I'll be honest with you, from a professional perspective, it's there. I mean, there's you know, gazillions of people on it. So it gives you a lot of ability to connect. The second thing is every person on LinkedIn can join 50 groups. So if you're writing a post or sharing an article, and I know that Chuck does that because I see the guys doing that, you don't know when marketing starts to have – you don't know why that person is calling you. So marketing is I throw it out into the universe. I don't know if it's going to come back, but you got to keep throwing it out. So if you're doing a website and you're doing a blog, you can post the blog – the blog you can post for free because it's your story. The blog directly into LinkedIn. Then I would go to, and this is a weird part, but I don't know if it works, is go to the industry associations of your clients. So if you're talking to a company that makes food, well, go to their association and see if there's anything you could do there. So if you're going to advertise, if you're going to spend money in marketing, might as well spend it in the associations of the clients you want.
Exactly.
Don't blow it on Facebook.
Right.
And on LinkedIn and newspapers. Just go to the, and by the way, they'll probably be cheap as heck to go to the, you know, so if it's in your town, there's got to be a chamber of commerce. There's got to be an industry association. So there's so much free resources, but you have to set aside an hour or two a week, like on a Sunday morning, whatever it is, where you say, okay, I'm going to go through the, you know, there's like 20 companies in my town. I want to get their load, and this one is in semiconductor. Well, let me go to the Semiconductor Association. This one is in food. Let me go to the Food Association. Let me see what's going on. And ironically enough,
right,
you might line up a load that goes to one of their conventions. So it's worthwhile to go to their industry conventions.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right? So
then
these just take time, not a lot of money.
Not only that customer, but even their suppliers or whatever. So therefore, the load that you may be getting, that you're trying to connect the dots, the load that you may be getting from that potential customer when you're delivering it to wherever it's going to, there may be a supplier that ships back to that customer, and now you just created yourself a built-in dumbbell just by doing homework and making relationships.
Right. And that's a great, by the way, Rico, that's a great point. A testimonial to the clients of your client, if you're shipping for a company and they're the supplier to other companies, that's a great testimonial. And I'll make you
Absolutely.
A bet you can find these guys online. You can find their emails probably in the company directory. And this is the way I used to do it. So I'm going to tell you guys, it's pretty not complicated. Phone the company you're targeting and speak to the receptionist and ask, tell them, I got to send an email to this logistics manager. What's his email? And they'll give it to you.
Right. That's a good idea. As long as you're speaking confidently and assured, I'm definitely sure you won't have much pushback on that at all.
Right. But what I said about WIFM is if you're going to email these shippers, it's what's in it for them. So it's got to be something that makes their life easier, not about your company. They don't want to receive materials. We won the best this award or that award. What they want to get is information. How can information you give them make their life easier? So if you know their pain points, you send them a blog or an article that says, hey, thought this might be of interest to you. And by the way, that's the easiest way, which is sending an article to somebody because it relates to their industry is, hey, thought you might be interested in this. That's marketing, believe it or not.
Absolutely. And to go, kind of backtrack a little bit to go back to learning what their pain point is, if you develop and get that relationship with that salesperson because that salesperson knows what the pain point is because, like you said, they're going to get the first call from the client that they're selling to about what's
mm-hmm.
going on with the shipment, what's happening
yeah.
with the shipment. So that gives you an opportunity before you even go pitch. If you have that relationship with the salesperson, now you can develop some kind of solution that's going to make sense, and it just makes things a lot easier to present that solution. Because you already know, if you've done your homework, you know where the problem is, so you can give you an opportunity to go ahead and format your solution to fit their need.
That's it. It has to be a solution to a problem. I would say to any of your listeners, don't try and tackle. I know everybody wants all the business, but all the business means 100% of the headaches. So you carve out
and
a
that's
niche.
Something that we always... Exactly. That's something that we always try to do because you can't, especially as a one carrier, one truck carrier, or maybe even a small fleet, you're still not big enough to compete with the big boys on what it is that they do. So you can't out-Snyder Snyder. You can't beat
right.
J.D. Hunt on price. But where you can beat them and where they can't compete with you is you being able to be nimble and have and provide a specialized targeted area where you, hey, I'm in and out of this market every other day or every single day. And that's something that they may not be able to compete with you on because they are such big behemoths. And they're kind of like aircraft carriers out in the ocean. You know, they can't turn around on a dime, but you know, the little speedboats, they don't have a problem with spinning around. And that's what
right.
we have to consider ourselves is like the little speedboats.
Right. And, I mean, so it's the little things always. As you just said, if they have a regular run to a regular place, then, you know, there's nothing to stop you from shooting a note to the people in your list saying, hey, John, heading down 4 o'clock to, I'm heading over to this location. If you got an urgent, let me know. And then you do it again and again and again. So he has to know you're going there all the time. Otherwise, he thinks
Absolutely.
It was a one-off, and he'll never remember it.
Right, and so that's the key thing as far as making sure you're consistent. Now, let me ask you this, Michael. how important would you say having some type of a CRM or a CS, the customer
CRM,
a sales funnel, so to speak.
CRM
yes.
is very important, and now there's hundreds to pick from, and there are some really good ones that are free, believe it or not. A lot of them are giving it away free because they're hoping you get to the point where you're big enough to start paying. But even if you're paying for your CRM systems these days, especially if you're a small company, they're virtually a couple hundred dollars a month. So they're not an exorbitant. And what they do is they connect the a lot of them are mobile. So basically it's both on your laptop as well as on your phone. But it's important for the person to know, okay, what's the contact information, and then set up a regular schedule to remember to call this person. These things are important to keep track of. Otherwise, what happens is you run it on an Excel spreadsheet, and then all of a sudden you forget to update the spreadsheet, then you lose the spreadsheet, you don't remember, you created 15 new spreadsheets, and you're like, okay, where the hell did I put this guy's name?
Right, so
one
free one that I ran across is I think they call it Zoho.com.
There's so many of them. My company runs on a system called Bittrex 24. And the amount of customers and people we have, this is, if I tell you the cost, what it costs me to run per month, you got to be kidding me. No, it's like $300 a month to run the entire system. Now, I have a management team that runs it because we have a lot of data going in and out. So it's always worthwhile to get a system, but once you get into it, you got to keep it going. Otherwise, you're going to lose track of it. So it has to be part of your world to say, "I got to put in the information. I got to put in the information."
Yeah, and that is correct. I had to go back and double check. Zoho.com is a free CRM software solution that you can utilize. So that's one free resource for you.
And
right,
it should
there,
be both mobile and desktop. It should be both. You should be able to access it on your cell phone as much as you can on your laptop too.
Absolutely. So, and I'm going to try. I tried to do a little research before we brought you because I wanted to make sure that we had some resources to also give to the listeners. So that Zoho.com is a good free solution as far as CRM are concerned. What are some other things that you think could help some of our smaller guys, smaller people with their marketing strategies?
I use the right word, Rico, strategy. So I realize that, sometimes we get lost in our own world. You want to spend some time thinking of, okay, what is my strategy? Meaning, how am I going to market? And once I pick that strategy, I got to stick to it. You're not going to see any results for at least 90 days. So whatever you do, you got to do it for at least 90 days. Because if you do it once or twice, and then you start cursing it didn't work, that's not the way it works. Marketing is something you have to repeatedly do again and again and again. So if you're going to do it, you got to do it for 90 days. Then the second thing is you say to yourself, okay, what, from a strategy perspective, what is the strategy am I going to do? Am I going to do it by LinkedIn? Am I going to do it through the industry associations? Am I going to do it through emails? So don't go more than two marketing strategies, meaning I'll collect emails from these companies and I'll send them an email once in a while, like, on a regular basis. So I'll set up on a clockwork that on the 15th of every month or every 2 weeks, I send out a blog. But if I'm going to do a blog, I have to make sure I post a blog to my website. So if you've got a website, then you're going to do the blogs. And by the way, you can write the blogs. And it's okay if you write about your own experiences of how you solved someone's problems. That's okay. By the way, when you do those things, please don't make it too long, right? You want them to be able to read it in 2 minutes. So don't go into, it was a snowy day and da-da-da-da-da. Just get to the point. Right.
And I just looked up at the clock really quickly. I looked up at the clock really quick. I'm sorry, Michael. I looked up at the clock.
Yeah.
I wanted to give our listeners that are listening in, if you have
sure,
a
go
question
ahead. Sorry.
Yourself, you can press number one. We want to get you in because we're getting close to the hours just flying by. So,
sure.
If you guys wanted to make sure that you guys knew that you had an opportunity, if you wanted to ask a question, press the number one and we'll get you in. up and on board so that you can ask a question. Okay, Michael, I'm sorry about that. I just wanted to, I was remiss in my duties and I didn't say that at the beginning of our talk, but I just wanted to make sure that our listeners that are listening knew that they had an opportunity to ask you a question.
Sure, I'm open. I'm all open.
So, yeah, we don't have any, no one's raised their hand just yet, but so I'll let you continue along with what you were saying.
So just pick your two or three ways you want to communicate and set those as your strategy and say, okay, this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it by emails, or I'm going to do it by LinkedIn, by posting the groups, or I'm going to do it by going to the associations. So pick your marketing strategy, how you want to stay in touch, and then keep doing it again and again. Set it on a clock in your calendar and say, it's the 15th of the month. This is when I send out my notes. So do that routinely, and you got to keep doing it. You can't stop doing it. So what we covered tonight, Rico, I think is great. We covered LinkedIn. We covered CRM, and both of them, you just said it, are free. So the only thing the person is investing is time. The website will cost $1,000 to set up, and then the blogging is free.
And now let's ask you, what if you had someone that was wanting to be a little bit more aggressive? Would you recommend someone maybe investing a few dollars into LinkedIn as far as getting getting the paid subscription for LinkedIn to get a little bit more information? Does that bring any value to the equation? What's your take on that?
It does, because there's one part, which is LinkedIn has InMail. And what InMail does is, previously, I can't communicate with you. On the free side, I can't communicate with you if we're not linked together. So I can send you a connection to connect to me, but you might say no, which means I have no way to communicate with you. But if I sign up for one there at LinkedIn, I think it's Supreme, whatever it is, it includes InMail. InMail, you're able to email the other person, and it'll show up in their feed. So they will receive the message. And by the way, doing regularly LinkedIn, I've got like 1,200 people following me. You can, if you do it repeatedly, people start to follow you, but they're only going to follow you if you're adding relevant content. So I think LinkedIn is a great place for your listeners and the industry associations of the companies that they're trying to get to. So I would follow the websites of those companies that I'm targeting. I would follow the persons at the company who I want to connect to. So if it's a logistics manager, I would send him over an article about one of their suppliers. All that information is there. So if I'm Boeing, I'm probably going to have in my blogs or my news and events sections news about an order I got about this particular company. Hey, I'll flip it to this person's, hey, I thought you might be interested, or I'll post an article. I think LinkedIn is a great free site. Facebook is not a good place for business. Like it's consumer-driven, not business-driven. And then the industry associations, and then the websites. So all those things, and the CRM, all of that, Rico, is free.
Absolutely. So it just takes focus, taking a little bit of time to focus on what it is that you want and being deliberate about your actions. And this is what we're talking about this year. We're trying to take 2019 to really get deliberate about our actions, to really make sure that we are planning out we're developing our strategy, making a game plan on how we're going to grow our businesses. Whatever our goals are for our businesses, we're trying to keep those things in the forefront, and we're trying to keep them measurable so that we can make sure that we're making some type of progress. So if you're being deliberate about your actions, ladies and gentlemen, and utilizing some of these marketing strategies, I'm more than confident that these things will get you down the road to the point where you want to be. Michael, before we get out of here, I want to give you an opportunity to tell everyone, maybe if you want to tell people how they can get in contact with you, if they had any follow-up questions that we didn't get a chance to cover tonight, or maybe give your social media information out, anything like that. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to come on and join us.
No problem. I mean, my general email is michael.lampel, L-A-M, like Michael P, like Peter, E-L, @gmail.com. Happy to reply to any questions or point people in the right place at any time. My insurance business is different. That's life and health insurance in this business. That's a different thing. But from my regular email, michael.lampel@gmail.com, and I'll be more than happy to reply to any questions people have.
Sounds great, Michael. We definitely appreciate it, Chuck. Your turn, my friend. We're getting ready to. The hour just flies by when we we're having fun.
No, especially when we're having fun. You can get hold of me either email chuck@traffic.com. That's traffic.com. Or you can give me a call. It's really important. Extension 203. Because we have 100 and some odd lines in the place. So if you don't press 203, you're going to go through voicemail hell, which I don't want you to. And the phone number is 800-388-4352. If you don't get me, leave a clear message with your phone number. I get back to everybody that leaves me a message. And if you're having an issue or you have a question about trucking or logistics or third-party brokerage, let me know and I'll try to help you.
Okay.
Sounds great, Chuck. And one more thing, a little bit of housekeeping before we do get out of here. Last week we talked about trying to get up the YouTube channel. It's going to be my goal for us to try to have this YouTube channel up and running. I'm going to send out a blast on Facebook to let you guys know when we get it up and going. I want to try to get some bugs and everything worked out with it. Hopefully we can have a smooth launch. But what we would like for you guys to do, that once we get the channel up and running, and this is going to help us out tremendously, because we're going to start trying to stream the podcast live as we're doing it. And by utilizing YouTube and some of the other services, this will give you us the ability to give you notifications when we're going live, so that you, one of the problems that a lot of people have talked about with the podcast, they enjoy being able to go back and listen to it, download, but they would like to catch the live show. So by us trying to go to YouTube and doing some other things to help expand our platform and bring the show to you in different formats, this will help us kind of eliminate the factor of what we before. When we had some type of notification system, it'll be built in into YouTube. We're just going to need you guys to like, share, and subscribe. Make sure you subscribe, turn on the little bell notification so that you will get notified when we are going live. And that way you guys can definitely be sure to join us as we are broadcasting live. And with that being said, we are wrapping up. Michael, is there anything else that you would like to leave us with before we get out of here?
No, I just want to thank you for having me on the show. Happy to help.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, that's kind of all the housekeeping that we had to do tonight. We want you guys to be safe out there, be prosperous. More so than everything, you know, make sure you guys keep it in between the mustard and the mayonnaise. Well, God willing, we'll talk to you same time, same place. Next week, hopefully with the YouTube live stream going, and we'll see you guys at that time. Well, be safe out there. God bless you, and good night.
Thank you. Thank you, Rico. Good night. God bless. Bye-bye.